And it was interesting because while it was in 1944 that DNA was discovered to carry the trait, it was only 9 years later in 1953 when the understanding of that DNA hit the public. I remember the day myself when that information was published in the scientific journals because it was carried in our newspapers in New York. It was the front page of the tabloid in big block letters that read, "Secret of Life Discovered." And it went on to talk about the work of James Watson and Francis Crick, discoverers of the DNA double helix. Through their work, Watson and Crick found that the hereditary molecule DNA was a two-stranded molecule that was twisted around each other in a spiral. That when they looked at the nature of these molecules, they were found to consist of only four chemical bases or subunits. That these subunits, adenine, thymine, guanine, and cytosine, which are abbreviated as ATCG, were the components that comprised these long linear strands of DNA. That these little sequences of the bases, the ATCs and Gs, actually provided a code. So there were linear codes along the DNA. The use of the code was to create the proteins of the human body. The proteins are a different class of macromolecules. The proteins are very complex molecules. We now know that the human is comprised of over 100,000 different kinds of proteins. The proteins are very important. The proteins provide for our physical structure, and the proteins also provide for the behaviors that we express, because proteins are unique molecules. Proteins are molecules that are able to move. So not only do they provide for a physical structure, but as the proteins change shape, their movement provides for physiology. It provides for the characters of living systems such as respiration, digestion, excretion, muscle contraction, on and on. All of these behaviors of action are derived from the proteins. So the proteins provide for both our structure and for our behavior. The question, of course, was really important now because while they were looking for the DNA, that physical thing that controlled life, they still had to ask one more important question. What is it that controls the DNA? Well, they really weren't too sure. So in experiments right after the DNA helix was discovered, they found that if they could split the double helix into two parts, into two single helices, and then take each of these single helices and put it into a beaker with subunits, the A, T, and C, and G building blocks of DNA, and just put the single strands into the solution and incubate it, after a short time, when they pulled out the DNA, it had returned to a double-stranded DNA. They found that one strand of DNA would actually be a code to create the second strand of DNA. So all of a sudden, they saw an answer and they said, oh my goodness, DNA controls itself. If you take a single strand of DNA and split it into two, each strand would make a complementary copy of itself. Now I'd have two double-stranded DNAs, and each of these strands of DNA could be passed to a daughter cell. So basically, it's that DNA possesses codes that program for the complex proteins that provide for our structure and our function. But DNA also has the unique ability to replicate itself. And therefore, DNA appeared to be the end-all in regard to information control in biology. And based on this information, Francis Crick, one of the co-founders of the DNA helix, came up with something called the central dogma. The central dogma is a foundationary pillar under the science of biology. The central dogma reveals this. Information flow in biological systems is a one-way street. It starts with DNA. The DNA is copied into an equivalent of a Xerox version of itself called RNA. That the RNA is the actual physical template upon which proteins are built. So the RNA is the actual blueprint describing the nature and structure of proteins. So basically what this said was the central dogma revealed that while we are indeed protein machines and our behaviors are controlled by our proteins, the character of our proteins and the programming of our proteins comes from the DNA. And basically what we started to recognize that the character of an organism is pre-programmed in its DNA. And that since the DNA makes the proteins and since the proteins provide for the character, that if you wanted to understand the nature of life or control life, you'd really have to get a handle on this DNA. And as a result, A lot of research in molecular genetics started from 1960s to the 1970s, and it gave us more and more information on the nature of how genes control life. It led to a concept called genetic determinism, which says essentially this: at the moment of conception, the genes from the mother and the genes from the father come together in the fertilized egg called a zygote. And in the zygote, the genes are sorted out, and these genes actually become a program, a printout of the future of this organism, because the characters in the genes will be represented as the characters of the proteins in the final living organism. So basically what it said was this, is that our fate in some way is absolutely pre-programmed at the moment of conception by the selection of genes that will be activated in our genome. The genome being all of the genes in a single organism. So essentially, the genome biology became the focus of scientists whose mission it was to control and to dominate nature. For an understanding of genes would lead us the ability to change the genes and engineer individual organisms, plants, and animals by changing their traits. And then in that way, we would be able to control and dominate nature. There's only one problem with this hypothesis. And the problem relates to how we, as people in this world, deal with our lives. Because what we're being told by science is that we are actually victims of our heredity. For the simple reason is this: we don't apparently select the genes that we have. We can't really just go change the genes that we have and become something different. So we become what the genes are. And since we didn't pick them and have no control of them, then more or less we're a victim. And that the traits in our lives are sort of pre-told and forecast for us in the genome that we came with. And basically it says as you go through life, then you start to recognize that things may be out of your control. If your mother had cancer and your grandmother had cancer and your aunt had cancer and you're a woman in that family, it appears that maybe you will end up with cancer as well, because these are traits carried by the genes, presumably. That if there are all different kinds of traits. It was even found, for example, that when geneticists were looking at happy people with a question, is there a gene for happiness? Well, sure enough, they split two populations of people into an experiment, happy people and unhappy people. And their focus was, are there genes in the happy people that are active that are not active in the unhappy people? And from that pursuit, of course, they found some genes that appeared to be more active in happy people. And then they came to the conclusion, well, at the moment of birth, the gene that you got covering happiness will determine how much happiness you can even experience in your whole life. This concept of genetic determinization is actually a victimization because, as I mentioned, we apparently had no control over these genes. Well, the problem of victimization and things being out of control is not a big problem for a major industry that obviously profits from this understanding called the pharmaceutical industry. Because the pharmaceutical industry is based on the fact that, listen, you're a victim, you're a machine, you're made out of parts, and if your parts aren't working well, we can manufacture new parts, different parts, and change the operation of the machine. So all of a sudden, we start to recognize not only are we victims of our genes, but there's a way out through pharmaceutical drugs. And today the world is absolutely crazy with drugs controlling everything. Everyday life events that were never really medical conditions are now called medical conditions to sell drugs. And the interesting thing is, it is selling us these drugs because we are believing we are victims of our own machine, that we are out of control of that machine. Well, in 1980, the biologist finally said, through all the molecular genetics research, it appears that the contents of the central dogma, the fact that DNA goes to RNA goes to protein, appears to completely understand and describe the nature of life that we experience here on this planet.